Welcome back to the Cosmetic Queens podcast. Today, we are tackling a topic that the aesthetic industry and us sometimes avoids because we never want to be seen as offensive or non-inclusive or weird, but we are. So let's get weird together, guys. So we're going to talk about diversity in aesthetic medicine particularly, but we can talk about all things diversity and all things inclusive. And why do so many women of color avoid us white girls, us white providers? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about why do some providers still say, sorry, can't treat that skin type? And why do patients spend thousands of dollars on fillers and all these aesthetic procedures and then they don't spend money on the skincare or the SPF? Dun, dun, dun. So buckle up. Yeah. Okay, buckle up.
Yep, it's going to get real today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have a special guest here today.
We do have a special guest.
She's going to be honest, share your perspective.
Of course.
Tell us when we're being crazy. It'd be like, we're going to reel that in. We're going to change that verbiage. You're being offensive. You're being ignorant. Like, I want to hear it because I think that these talks are important and I don't think enough of it happens. But with no further ado, let's introduce our beautiful esthetician, Bessie. Chelsea Moreno.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
I'm so excited to yap because that's what we do.
I love
that's yapping. why we're in the professions we're in.
I think the conversations flow between us really well.
100%. Yeah.
So, like, tell us who you are, what you do, and what you want to do in
the
world.
So, like they said, my name is Chelsea, and I've been an esthetician for, I always have to do the math, 10 years.
That's because it's a long time. It's not like a year.
10 years. And I have veered towards more of a holistic approach with skincare. I did work in a med spa setting. I've done kind of a little bit of everything. And now I partner with these beautiful queens on my own skincare journey, my own cosmetic journey, on top of just being an advocate in general for women feeling good.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
Because honestly, when she came in, I was going to shit my pants. Okay. Because I'm like, I have some women of color, some black women that I treat, and it's always like anxious, anxiety ridden because
you care.
We care.
Yeah.
We care. And we don't want to mess up your beautiful skin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so whenever somebody comes in, it gives me a little anxiety because we're going to get into it. But basically, we don't learn a lot about different ethnic coloring and skin and features. And I think that this is just like something new that in the last 4 or 5 years, I've start seeing once in a while a course that's thrown in.
Yeah, it's becoming slightly more mainstream.
Slightly.
Yeah, they're creeping in there.
But enough for me to stop you when you came in and say, hey, can we have a quick conversation? Like, I would love to partner and collab with you on this because you being a woman of color.
Yeah. And an esthetician.
And an esthetician. Yeah. I'm like, this is a gold mine here.
Yeah.
We need to, I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back.
Correct.
Okay. So let's start with the obvious. Why did we want a black esthetician on the show?
Knowledge.
Knowledge is power. Yes. Yeah. We wanted her here because representation matters. I want to hear from the people who this is going to directly affect.
Right. And to obviously let everybody know that you care. It's not just like performative. It's like you're willing to have the
conversation. Would you agree that sometimes walking into a white female owned practice, if you are a black woman, is sometimes intimidating?
100%. Yeah. If I wasn't as informed, I probably wouldn't do it at all.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
And we don't want that.
No.
We want to break these boundaries down. We want to.
We want to open our doors.
Yeah.
Come see us.
Come.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the kick drum.
We
love you all. This is where shit goes rogue real fast today. Real going to go real fast.
Usually when we have a Mondays. A Mondays? With an S.
It's a bad case in the Mondays.
Yeah.
We're here with Danny and it's a case of the Mondays. So have you had any black clients come into you and told you feelings of coming to either injectors or, you know, specific colors of people when we're going into a location or that they don't feel like they can trust the provider that they're going to, or, you know, a combination of things. How do you manage that?
I think it's more so just letting them know that it's more inclusive than it used to be.
Okay.
Because the information that I get is because I'm an esthetician and I'm doing my research and it's my life's work. So I'm credible.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm just saying, oh, just, you should do it. You should do it. And then obviously taking that a step further and having gotten treatments myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, so this is my experience. This isn't just something I'm selling you because it's like, you know, maybe because we have a partnership of or anything like that. So I think for me, it's been more convincing them that it is for us.
Yeah. And that we can have collaborations. Mm-hmm. And that the people who are going to be best at treating everyone are the people who are collaborating on all levels and also taking information from all these pieces, because everyone's different. We even say about Botox treatments, everyone's face shape is different. Yeah. Everyone's muscles are different. Yeah. Like if we're assessing muscle, why aren't we assessing the Fitzpatrick's?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
We should be, I think. So do you think that people have had bad experiences in the past and that has led to a mistrust of certain, you know, industry professionals?
Well, 100%. I think it starts just within healthcare as a baseline, you know, just if you have a little acronym at the end of your name of some sort, it's like, oh, I don't trust you, or I don't think you include me, or, and that's because, I mean, as women navigating healthcare, you know, how much 100%. are your concerns ignored. So then adding in that extra layer of being a higher Fitzpatrick, you're like, well, you couldn't possibly know what I need.
And that's so sad to me because I see it happening on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And we don't want that in our practice at all.
Yeah.
We want to be a safe place, and we also want to have these conversations that may be a little awkward or may, you know, cause a little controversy, but we want to do the right thing and we want to be supportive. And so I feel like sometimes if people come in and have had a bad experience before, I personally feel like it's our job to kind of rectify that.
Nurture it.
Earn, you know, and earn their trust.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and that may not necessarily be how everybody model in their practice is, but I think that we need to back it up and say, you know what, there was some trauma here. There was some bad experiences that happened. And while I don't agree with how you were treated, and it wasn't me who treated you that way, this is a safe place. You can talk to me about it. And I'm going to make sure that you know that that doesn't happen here. And I don't care how long it's going to take to earn your trust. We can have as many conversations, as many consults, as many back and forth with your other providers as we need to make a treatment plan that fits for you.
100%. And not knowing the questions to ask, like, from my standpoint as like a patient or a client, like it's up to you guys as the professionals to be like, okay, so here are some things. This is what I know. It's like you have to do more research. And I feel like a lot of people don't want to do that.
Right. Well,
that's
bingo.
Yeah.
Hit the nail right on the head there, didn't she?
Which is a shame because your education is literally why you can do what you do.
And we've seen a lot in this industry in particular across all levels of beauty, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you don't know what you don't know. So people are coming to us and they're trusting us and they're saying, hey, you know, I'm putting my face, I'm putting my hair, I'm putting my, you know, beauty standards in your hands.
Yeah.
And if they don't do a great job of vetting the education and the trust from the provider, or the provider doesn't do a good enough job explaining, like, I really know what I'm doing here.
Right.
You know, then that's when I think it gets a little awkward sometimes too. You know, people, how many times have people said, well, I felt uncomfortable, but I didn't want to get up and leave, or I didn't want to get out of the chair. And I'm like, no, you should.
Yeah.
You should say, you know what? I'm going to think, I take some more time and think about this a little bit more.
Absolutely.
And we encourage that with us too. If we feel some hesitation, we're like, you know what? Maybe we have another consult. Let's not force this today. We're not going anywhere.
100%. Yeah. And I think that's going to be even more important with patients of color, because you need to be able to know that what they're getting is going to be safe for them. And you can even tell them, like, I'm going to go back. I mean, you told me that, like, I'm going to go and consult and make sure that what I think is the right thing is actually going to be the best thing.
Yeah. I was telling her a little bit about one of our friends, Dr. Diggs, who we absolutely adore.
She's the best.
And she is a Black woman who is dominating the dermatologic field. And we had the luxury of becoming friends and, you know, working together with energy-based devices. And she actually does a whole segment on, you know, diversity and aesthetics with energy-based. And I thought that that was so great. And she has just been amazing in helping us establish some great protocols. And, you know, I even reach out to her before I treat you, which is great.
Yeah. When Stacy said that to you, how did it make you feel as a patient?
Like that she was going to like look into getting research, that more comfortable, more confident to trust that when she was ready to do the treatment, that she wasn't just like winging it.
Sure.
Because even for me, having done laser treatments, like looking at some of the protocols, I'm like, this doesn't include me.
Yeah.
Like even as an esthetician doing it on clients, I had to make adjustments because I knew not only my client's skin, but like the device and how it
works.
Which
is so sad that the industry is not making this all inclusive.
Yeah.
They'll just say this device is not for fits 5-6.
Right. Right.
And you're like, I'm sorry, what?
Like at
we're making
all?
Devices that just don't cover
right.
it.
Right.
Right.
I just feel like there are ways we can get around those things, or they could say, well, we recommend this device instead, but they don't. They just ignore it completely and then just say, we don't.
I think that also goes back to the mistrust of the medical community for the minority community because of the history behind that. It's like, I don't feel like we're included as a baseline. So why would I even try to go get something that could harm me?
And it's disgusting, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, really that's shame. Something that we were not really trained on at the beginning.
Right. And that's why I was asking you how you felt, because I feel like there's a lot of providers that just would be like, well, I don't know.
Or they would be embarrassed to ask for help.
Correct.
Right. And I think that that's a fine line. Like I'm always going to ask. I mean, that's the reason I became a PA and I was in the process of going to med school. Right. And I said, I'd actually feel more comfortable if there's somebody that I can always ask and go to.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a weakness. I think double checking so that a patient is not harmed or scarred or has a negative aesthetic result, that's not a weakness. That's actually a
and
strength.
Truly, every provider should have that perspective.
Yeah.
No matter what your title is.
I don't think they do. I think
no, absolutely
some of them
not.
Have such big egos.
Oh my God. Yeah.
The further we get into this industry, particularly, I think, you know, it doesn't matter across the board, whether you're RN, esthetician, nurse, practitioner, PA, MD, DO, it doesn't matter. You see the egos fluctuate in certain, you know, provider groups.
Right. Yeah.
And they want to be the end all be all. They want to be the, you know, master of their craft. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to ask because they're going to, that's going to make them look weak in their mind. Okay. And I don't agree with that. No. I think that me asking is just me double checking and doing due diligence to make sure that my patient's going to have a great result.
And it makes them feel comfortable.
Yeah.
100%.
And we've talked about this with other podcast episodes on how we want our patients to ask these questions. We want you to be like, oh, I don't feel comfortable with that.
Yeah.
So we can explain it better.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
and it helps us grow as providers. And I think 100%. Also, how many times do we double check with each other?
Oh my gosh.
All the time. There's like no reason anymore that we do this. Like we both. Like,
it might be codependent, but we're going to roll with it.
It's fine.
You might be my security blanket. But you know, but how many times have we heard the patient say, I really love that because it just solidifies that I'm making a good choice and that, you know, you both are in agreement. So I just felt even more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I did. I told you, I did like probably a year's worth of research before I even like scheduled a consult with you. And it was more so because I can see your care and attention to just baseline your job and the way that you like approach the aesthetic of.
I don't
like,
know why I'm getting emotional.
But it's true. You know,
it makes me feel good.
Just your process and the way that you're making a woman feel better about themselves. It's not an extreme and it's collaborative just in nature. So I knew that like even if you didn't know that I had a safe enough place to like say, okay, I don't understand
that.
To
create. Yeah. And like, I think that's the first time somebody's actually said it in those words to us. And that's we wanted.
Well, I mean, especially having been in this industry for a decade now, like I've worked with other estheticians, I've worked with plastic surgeons, like I've been in different offices and the vibe has always been uncomfortable. Like there's this air of pretentious, like arrogance with a lot of the way that people practice in cosmetics.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're trying to make people feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like why the pretension?
Right.
You know? Is that a word? That's not a word. Why the
pretentiousness?
Yeah.
We're making up words.
Why the pretension?
Yeah.
But in general,
where's your humility? You have to stay humble.
Stay humble. Stay kind. Mm-hmm. Peace, love, and happiness.
Live, laugh, love.
We God. Said when we get really awkward, that's what you'll be doing.
Yeah.
Oh,
live,
yeah.
Live, laugh, love.
Yeah.
Jenna and I just made a heart.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we touched on some of this stuff that sometimes providers avoid treating darker skin because they're scared of complications. And here's the controversial question. Is that about patient safety or just laziness and lack of training? And we kind of just touched on that.
Yeah.
There is a lack of training. I think it's starting to become more prevalent, like you said. But yeah. I do think that there's definitely some education gaps and biases.
Right, because the truth is, it's going to take a couple extra questions, a couple extra steps. And who wants to do that? Because we're trying to get people in and out fast as we can.
Do you?
Mm-mm. No.
I do. I want to take a couple extra steps.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't either. I want to, too. I don't want to be... I just feel like there's a lot of providers out there that are so set in their ways of doing things that you have to change.
Yeah.
You have to grow.
Yeah. People used to be so annoyed with me. When we first started working together, people used to say, you're taking too many photos. You're taking too much time. Mm-hmm. The questionnaire is too extensive. And I'm like, I'm brand new in this field.
Right.
Like, if you don't write me a biography of like what's happening, I'm not touching you.
Right.
Because with my luck, it'd be the one person that I missed an autoimmune on. And now I'm going to, inject something that requires the autoimmune process to work. Or right. I'm going to miss that you got burned one time, mm-hmm. With a laser. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to miss that you were on a retinol. Or I'm going to miss that you're on an antibiotic. Just right. the other day,
right.
Jenna's like, anything else? And the woman was like, I'm on an antibiotic. And I'm like, now we have to look that up because I don't know if that's photosensitive. And we took the time to look it up.
All right. Right.
But I'm like, we're going to need a minute. And right. I said that right in front of the patient. I don't care.
Not only that, how many times have you been sitting with a patient and you're 15 minutes into the consult and they're like, oh yeah. And like, blah, 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 blah. And you're like
I just went to the dentist.
Like,
and you're like, no.
And you're like, oh, so we're going to reschedule.
Yeah.
Because you should have said that 15 minutes ago.
100%.
But if like you
they're
didn't,
there for you and they've been on
But if
retinol.
They didn't take that long to like ask more questions,
sure.
to give them more
or
time.
Feel comfortable.
Yeah, to be like, oh, let me think.
Knowledge is power.
Safety.
We've already said it.
Happen with complications.
Yeah.
Yep. And so I always tell people the first couple of appointments are going to be tedious because I talk a lot. And then I'm usually pulling Jenna in and
then I talk a little bit.
It's going to be a long process because we want you to be educated. And I don't care if you're like, I already know. No, because I don't trust anything now. We start from scratch when you come into the practice
right.
because I don't know what you've been told.
Right. And you might be undoing what was
Correct.
Told from other
Some people
providers.
Are like, I've never been told that ever in my life. And I'm
yeah.
like,
because I've asked a couple clients of mine who get like Botox and fillers and they're like, yeah, my appointment's like I'm in and out. And I'm like, mm-hmm. like even your first time
and
there.
And then people are like, yeah, people are like, I was Googling. I'm like, I'm sorry. Excuse me. What?
Like at your appointment?
They were Googling.
Instead of asking the provider in front of you?
Our like blanket statement when you leave now is you're never a bother.
Yeah.
Reach out to us. Stay off the internet.
Yeah.
I want your questions being fielded through me.
Right.
I trained for this.
Not only
I
that,
know
they,
this.
And you know them.
Correct.
Right.
Right.
And I also know if you're a hypochondriac. Like,
mm-hmm. like, get off the internet.
I also know if you're like a shaky Sally, like my friend over here who doesn't even want to get the injection, right?
Yeah.
But I have.
But she has.
Good
I'm very
job.
Proud of you. She just patted herself on the back. I'm going to give you a pat on the back as well.
Okay, cool.
But I think all of that stuff plays an important role. We need to have the conversations and we need to take the time and not just rush through. It's not about the quick turnover. We've talked multiple times about only seeing a certain number of patients per day and extending the appointment. Because even if you're there for talks, you may have questions about what esthetician to go hang out with, what,
most of the time
line,
it is.
What, how to protect your investment, things like that. Mm. And we need the time. So I'd rather have less patients with longer time periods.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's my same
and actually,
practice in my business.
And
too.
Actually, I think those patients would end up spending more money than the quick appointments because you're encompassing everything. And Jenna always says, we treat you as a whole.
Look at the big picture.
Yeah. Well, and that to go back to diversity, you have to be doing that more for higher Fitzpatrick's because we have a propensity to having lower vitamin D levels and other things that are more, relative to our melanin. you have to know and you have to take your time to get there. So,
I agree.
Melanin. Mm-hmm. We got to talk about the melanin.
Yeah.
We can definitely talk about the melanin.
Yeah. We can talk about Fitzpatrick.
We're off real script.
Yeah, yeah, let's talk about it. No, I think this is good. We're kind of following right along. So, hot take, if your training didn't prepare you to treat a Fitzpatrick 5'6", should you even be allowed to own a laser? And I was like, no.
Of course. Like, absolutely not. Get out.
And like, I don't think so. But again, this is a very unregulated industry. Things go rogue all the time. And I mean, honestly, if we're setting like such strict guidelines, then there would be things I wouldn't be allowed to do, right? As a PA. So I think it goes back to educating. So talk to us a little bit about Fitzpatrick barriers. You know, darker skin types are more prone to post-inflammatory hypopigmentation or hyperpigmentation. Mm-hmm. Really,
lots of pigmentation.
Both. Lots of pigmentation. I say that five times fast. Keloids, which are thicker scarring. Yeah. There are some white patients that we have that do keloid.
Yes.
But it is very common in the higher black community.
Yes. Yeah. So to talk about Fitzpatrick, that is the way that we in our community determine what skin color you are.
Yes.
However, the controversy is that they think it's just like, oh, you go light from light to dark. But what you need to understand is your ethnicity also can change how your skin reacts to a treatment.
Yeah. Sure.
So if you are more, you know, you're biracial, say you're Asian and you're Caucasian, you still have to consider yourself a higher Fitzpatrick because of the Asian.
Yeah. Yes.
Because your skin.
And I don't think that's taught in textbooks.
No, my school did. But,
well, let's give them a shout out.
Where did you go? Institute of Aesthetics in Virginia Beach.
Wow. You go, guys. We're going to tag you and congrats because.
Yeah. And Virginia has two levels of aesthetics, actually.
Keep going.
So
keep talking to us.
It's a licensed professional is, I want to say it's 600 hours. Don't quote me on that. And then there's a master level. Okay. So you go to so if you were to go through both programs, it's almost equivalent to like an associate's degree.
That's awesome.
And that's so regulated. Like, this is what we talk about all the time. This is what we need.
Yes. Every single state should be like.
Did you have to take actual tests on things book-wise and clinical?
Yep. The director does not play around. You don't pass it. You don't go on to the, you do not pass go. You don't collect $200.
You don't collect the money.
No, you do not get to go to the next chapter. You know, it is, you'll work with somebody, you'll get the training. Okay. You are not leaving that school unprepared.
Wow. Kudos to them.
No, I'm very grateful because when I moved back to New York, I was like, oh my God, New York's always strict. It isn't.
How did that? They're strict with dumb rules.
Yes. Yes. Okay. They completely dismiss. I'm like, who are you consulting with?
Yeah. Why are the rules being made when you have no idea? You're clearly not actually practicing. It's somebody sitting behind a desk that makes these rules. Yep. Because we've had that for our own ownership of the practice. Mm-hmm. We go round and round and round. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait, so if I had a lesser medical degree, you're telling me I could own this medical practice? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, dumb. Who made that rule? Let me talk to him.
Yeah, seriously. So yeah, to get back to Fitzpatrick. So if you think that you may be
Stacey,
if you think you may be more light in the scale, it doesn't matter. You have to consider your ethnicity. Mm-hmm. Some people just have thicker tissue in general.
100%. Yes. We've got to look at the integrity of the actual.
If
skin
your providers are not touching your skin, squeezing your face, lifting your cheeks, getting all in your like you need to. Yeah. I mean, that was,
and you know, I'm like booping you on the nose.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean,
nicely, we say, may we please touch your skin.
And we
consent is
hand.
Consent.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Consent matters. But in general, like when I went to school, our skin analysis portion lasted almost a month. Like literally just getting.
Not like a day.
No.
Not like
we were
course.
Truly like in online. Someone's face. And we
not
had
like
to.
Not like a 4-hour course online where you can't touch anyone.
Correct.
That's weird.
Yeah. Like documentation had to turn it in. Language had to be correct. Like it was intensive, which I appreciate because it is so drilled into my head that if I see a client and I'm like, you're not a candidate for this treatment.
Which brings
or this
us
product.
To a topic that we have talked about multiple times. We might tell you no. It's not because we don't love you. It's not.
It's actually because we love you.
We love you. Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Thank you. Okay. I'm like, no, you cannot have more lip filler. No, you cannot have that laser. No, you do not need that.
No, you cannot do that chemical peel at home.
At home.
She gave you the eyes. She's like, no.
Because we know what's happening behind closed doors and then they're not telling you.
And then you come in and we don't know that. Yeah. And it makes it even more dangerous.
Yes.
Because now we're going to treat over something that's been done that may not have been the best option for
or
you.
Or the safest. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It makes my
consult your providers and your estheticians.
And tell us the truth. We're not going to judge you. Yeah. We all do stupid things.
Yeah.
I mean, me more than these guys, but like, let's be honest.
Before we knew, we were all using St. Ives scrub.
Apricot.
Yeah.
I loved
Throw it. Throw it out. Use it on your feet.
I loved it feet. So much.
There you go.
You can use it on your feet.
Use it on your feet.
Okay.
The soles only.
I just recently had a patient that was still using it and I literally looked at her and I was like,
you're like, is this a prank?
No. I was like, wait, that they still make that?
That and the Irish spring.
Little shards. Do you want me to pull them up?
Yeah, I know. We can do a microscope.
Anyway, if you missed this, don't use apricot scrub on your face.
No.
It's jagged little shards. It will tear you to shreds.
Yes. Yep.
Okay? Yeah. Please don't do that.
Professional products only.
I love her.
That was perfect.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about how we need to treat the skin differently for every ethnicity, as well as not just go off of a color chart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sure you guys have seen the chart, like in the medical world. It's like, how much pain are you in?
Oh my God, the smiley face.
Smiley, and then it's like,
angry. Really? Yeah. It's like,
and it's like only on a scale of like 5.
Yeah. Okay?
And everybody's like, I'm in a 5 if I'm in the ER.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're actually not. Like a 5 is like an elephant sat on you, squashed.
Limb has been ripped off.
Thank you. Yeah. You're profusely bleeding.
Yeah.
You have a tourniquet tied around you. That is the highest level.
Yeah.
Almost dead.
So that chart is very similar to a Fitzpatrick chart.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah, it is.
It just is like a kind of to give you like a
starting point. Yeah.
But then there's a series of questions that go a little more in depth into how fast do you tan? Do you burn? Have you had sun exposure recently? Did you use this? How long does your tan last? Because that's another thing. Like, I can get a tan and it lasts like a pretty decent time. Mm-hmm. Other people could get a tan and it goes away like a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody's sensitivity is different. Everybody's exposure to sun is different.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're talking about doing these chemical peels or dermaplaning or laser energy-based device treatments, we really have to know all of this stuff. So don't lie to us. We want to know the truth. We're not going to judge you.
It's more intense than what people come in to just get my brown spots
They're
off.
Like, I'm a 3. And I'm like, okay, but you don't look that way. And going back to, we got to look at eye color.
Mm-hmm.
We got to look at hair color, natural hair color.
Yeah.
Like freckles on non-exposed skin areas.
Yeah.
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 Skin to the sun.
Skin to the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Jenna's really doing a great job for a Monday,
she's
honestly.
Killing it.
So I would say in the darker Fitzpatricks, the darker ethnicities, the margin for error is much smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. You can get away with like really giving a lot of energy to white skin.
Yeah.
And it may, you know, have a little bit of demarcation for a little while.
Yeah.
But like you do that on a darker Fitzpatrick. So I know this is one of our sayings, but you said it to me and I want you to tell the people, what do you do when you have
low and slow?
Go low and start slow. We would rather have you have repeated treatments. And we were just talking about this the other day. I was like, listen, we're going to start it at this.
Yeah.
If it doesn't give us the results that we're looking for, I would much rather comp you a treatment, discount another treatment, and do it again than have a complication
a
problem.
That also goes back to what we were saying about other providers not wanting to have to do that. Because it's like you understand that if you go low and slow, they may need more treatments.
Correct.
They may need
We may not get that complete correction as quick
in the recommended sessions.
Yeah. But that's okay because your safety and your pretty face matters to us.
But like we said, like protocols usually don't include higher Fitzpatrick. So if you're a provider only looking off of the standard protocol, you have to understand that we probably are not represented in that.
Which is bullshit.
Yeah. So it's
total bullshit.
You.
I'm going to say it. Okay. I agree with that. If there's a normal protocol where I'm doing 5 treatments on me or you, she may need 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to charge her a tremendous increase
right.
because the skin is absorbing things differently.
Yes. Correct.
Right.
Yeah. Correct. So we work with everybody on that. And that is one of the things, you know, I've been told before, you're a stupid business owner, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you know what? No, I like it. And it's working for us. And
we're not going to hide behind the safety excuse.
Yep. We're patients over profit. And we always will be.
Yeah.
So.
And that's why I come. Because I would not go anywhere else who's trying to push me through on sessions that I know are not going to work for me. And then I'm arguing with you because you think I don't know anything because I'm an esthetician and you're a doctor.
And that's and the other thing. I'm not doing that. We just are not playing that game.
No.
I think we could jump ahead a little bit, but we could talk a little bit about people are spending all this money on filler, but what if their skin, you've told me before, their tone, their texture, their dark spots, all of this stuff. I mean, it's like,
I get questions all the time, even before I started getting any sort of injections. They're like, oh, well, what do you do? I'm like, I take care of my skin.
It's like buying a Ferrari and parking it in a hailstorm.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the best idea, guys.
And if you take nothing else away from today, SPF.
100. Every single person
could kumbaya about that right now.
Oh, and I have a new fun fact. I don't know if you guys know. I looked it up because I was curious. Your melanin only gives you a 2 to 4 SPF.
Oh.
Yep.
And what is the minimum that we want, ladies?
30.
30 SPF.
Yeah.
So just because you are darker, just because you have more melanin, it is a myth. That you are more protected.
Yeah.
Correct.
And I'm sure Jenna can speak
on. Jenna has some fun facts coming up. I'm actually going to let her take the show over at that point.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, truly it's a waste of your money.
Clenched.
Yeah. Waste of your money to not invest in your skin when you are dumping thousands of dollars on filler and Botox and laser.
Your injections only look as good as the skin that you have.
Yeah.
And you have to protect that investment.
Yeah.
Correct.
If there is one thing that anyone could ever do, I always say it start with good skincare and you better have a retinol on board.
You know what analogy I like to use sometimes? Mm. So would you buy a really expensive mattress and then put really gross, ratty, dirty sheets on top of it?
Oh, I love that.
And that's your skin. Your skin is your sheet.
No.
Okay. Keep it clean. Keep it. Do you
launder?
Yes. Keep it clean. Fresh.
Yeah. Put some of those
little scent boosters in there. I love what I meant.
You know,
that's what
change your sheets out. Make them nice and fluffy.
Yes. Yeah. And just keep them.
I really like that.
Yeah.
We're going to start using that. Yeah. We'll come up with the Chelsea.
Yeah. So,
and it's not just sunscreen. It's medical grade skincare and washing your face.
Yeah.
You know, just plain old washing your face.
100%.
Yeah.
Some people, my cousin was washing with shampoo when we first got tequila up in here.
Okay. Shampoo for your hair.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
I was just, what do you wash your
face? That's new. I've never heard that one.
And I was like,
yeah, you're there. So you might as well bring
maybe,
it down.
Yeah. Maybe not.
I had a client obsessed with Dial soap.
Oh yeah.
And I was
maybe
like,
no.
Okay. Maybe no. You're clean.
I cleared up acne by just washing my face a couple of times a day, not mine personally.
I was like, interesting,
but in general,
with a patient, you know, he was just washing with Irish Springs everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, why don't you just stop doing that? Yep. Just wash your face with the Cetaphil.
And I always think people are going to be annoyed because I'm talking so much as usual, but it's amazing to me that what comes commonplace for me because of my experiences in the past and my exposure at Lord & Taylor in the makeup industry and things like that, that, and then my, you know, traveling journey through the medical field, that people don't know about exfoliation and the difference between a chemical or a mechanical exfoliator. People don't know the difference between the soaps that are drying their skin out and then they're producing more oil.
Yeah.
People don't know about the skin barrier. And I find myself always being I thought that was
common knowledge.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. It's amazing how many clients I will get on my table and just after a 5-minute intensive cleanse of their skin, how much better their skin looks. And I'm like, let's look together.
Yeah.
Because you're going to go home and you're going to wash your face now.
I love that. And also, forever. We didn't tell you, but Chelsea owns her own practice. So I'm going to let her shout it out right now.
So my business is called Goddess Aesthetics. I'm in the village of Beeville. Mm-hmm. So kind of in the Four Corners. So if you guys want to come get a little snack in Beeville and then come get a facial, I would love that.
Yes, she would love that. And you guys have heard us before. We are good friends with many of the estheticians in this area because this should be a collaboration. This shouldn't be a either or. This right. should be a hand in hand. Yeah. Let's work on you together.
100%.
To Looking get you at the best big, results
big
and,
picture.
And help with preventative aging mm-hmm. and catching things mm-hmm. that, I mean, we've just talked about this the other day. There's many times that you say no because you're worried that there might be something that is a precancer or something
yep.
like that.
Yep.
Which mm-hmm. we're going to segue right into.
Derm.
Yeah.
You know, I think that when it comes to the different Fitzpatricks, mm-hmm. everything looks differently too.
Yeah.
So as a provider, especially us when we're doing derm checks, it is something that we have to be a little bit more cautious with.
Yeah.
I will never forget my first Hispanic basal cell skin cancer that I diagnosed. He had a cluster of seborrheic keratosis, which is benign, mm-hmm. right around, and then one that looked slightly different.
Mm.
Maybe a little bit more purple than the other ones. And I'm like, well, that one, I just had a weird feeling about yeah. it. But that was the first time that I diagnosed a pigmented basal cell
yeah.
on a Hispanic person.
Yeah.
And I will say that really it opened my eyes to learning more
yeah.
because things do kind of
having to be more attentive.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, I think squamous cell is the highest, most risk for patients of color.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually related to scarring or inflammation.
Yep.
Squamous cell can be in the mouth.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different things when we're looking at skin cancers.
So don't ignore that weird bump.
Don't ignore the weird bump, especially if it's there for over a month.
Let us look at it and let Jenna touch it, squeeze it, and play with it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I get up all in there too. I'm like, all right.
Oh, I knew you did.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm like, and I'm like, hold on, don't move. Let me take a picture. And then you're going to send that to your dermatologist, right?
And then there's melanoma.
And you were saying from the SCC, the squames.
Squams.
You were that this is from chronic scarring, inflammation, things like that.
Yeah.
And so if people have like picked at their skin before mm-hmm. or had previous trauma to the skin, they are even more at risk of developing
Correct.
Skin
yeah.
cancer.
So Correct. Let's explain that.
Yeah.
And how if you are destroying tissue, mm-hmm. it is going to potentially cause irregular replication of that tissue.
Absolutely.
And that is the definition of cancer. So
if mic drop, but we're not going to because Danny will come over and take it away from me.
But
we'll behave, Danny.
In general, I feel like to ignore your skin because it doesn't look like what you think cancer should look like is not a reason for you not to go ask somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
At all.
Again, knowledge is power.
Or rashes or
and people
or anything
people
of that.
Have come in and they're not worried about a certain spot. They're worried about like mm-hmm. a spot like this. And I'm like, actually, that one is benign, not cancerous, completely fine.
Mm-hmm. However,
but I'm super worried about this one. And
they're
like, what? That's been there forever. And I'm like, that needs to go to Jenna.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah. Just take
skin
a look.
Skin exams are so important. And I think the collaboration that you're talking about is so important too. Knowing somebody that can look at the skin
after you've seen something,
you know, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. We want our patient's skin to be taken care of too. So we want them to go to you every month and have their skin beautified.
Yeah. Yeah,
because we could only do so much in our industry.
Yeah. And I'm very, very vocal with my clients. Like, hey, I want you to keep an eye on this spot right by your nose. And I want you to be very, very diligent with SPF. If it changes at all, looks mm-hmm. crusty or more Leans round
and
or lopsided or anything, you tell me and I will point you in the right direction of somebody that I trust that you
That's
can
important
go.
Important because a lot of people just ignore it.
Oh, 100%. I've had quite
they're
a few
like,
clients
just,
that have
like,
gone and gotten anything. Things removed because I told them that it's they need amazing. Somebody to go. And they're like, we caught in time. It was a quick little puncture and slap it out and threw it to the pathology. And then I'm like, great, you're good.
Right. Props to you for doing that though.
Seriously.
A lot of people are like, I don't want that headache or I don't want my name attached to it or, you know, the patient's going to get mad if it really comes back as nothing. I'm always like, wouldn't you rather know?
Yeah, 100%.
If it looks weird, wouldn't you rather know that it is really nothing?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, you've both probably saved lives doing that.
Right. Well, and to go back to the point of what we were talking about is just being that when you're darker Fitzpatrick, you truly have no idea what you're looking at because sometimes we just have natural different pigmentation throughout our body. Absolutely. That's just just right. the way our bodies are.
Right.
Don't leave it to chance.
Hasn't been hydrated enough had some
trauma. Or you have absolutely no exfoliation there. So it's the skin is more rough or whatever, you know, and it's like.
Or a little more ashy, mm-hmm. or gray.
Yeah.
I've been learning, guys. I've been learning.
She's like, I know what ashy is.
There's a lot of people that would say, well, because I have more melanin. Well, that's. You know, I don't need the sunscreen.
Yeah,
and then they don't have the sunscreen and then their dark spots are getting darker.
Yes. Yeah. I love explaining that with PIH too, like mm-hmm. post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation for those of you who don't know. But like I explain, I'm like, you are lifting it off. So the layers are starting to come up. Yeah. And if you are lifting it, you're exposing it to the sun. It's going to get dark. You're starting over.
Correct.
Oh, I like that. I like the abrupt. Now.
Yeah.
You're starting
you have more
over.
Damage.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm lathered like a donut in the morning. I'm just like, yes, great. Chocolate glazed donut.
Glazed donut. Yes, I love chocolate.
What sunscreen do you use?
I like Supergoop. Okay. There, because they have
that's one of your ones that's like on your Supergoop.
It's a good variety. So I feel like a lot of women of color, people of color in general, are so hesitant with SPF because, you know, physical sunscreens leave a white cast.
Yeah.
But we do love a physical sunscreen. It's elite. I don't care. You look like a crusty donut. I don't care. You won't have cancer.
That's what we want.
Right. But there is a good variety. And I think that's nice. And like there's tinted ones, there's glowy ones, there's mattifying ones. So there really is no excuse because there's so
and
many
I feel
options.
Like that is something that the beauty industry has gotten good at.
Absolutely.
I see more makeup lines expanding their color palettes now. I see more sunscreens that have less of a white cast. Yes. They're upgrading the technology.
Right. Because truly, I feel like the best course of action when you get advanced treatments is physical sunscreen.
Yes.
So the fact that they make them tinted now, you have no excuse.
It makes our job for educating very easy.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Yeah.
Go get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. We also like color science.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you like color science?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And Obagi.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three we recommend them.
I usually try to like, because again, estheticians, I feel like we're dealing with fighting retail a lot more than you guys probably do. Like people come in, you're like, oh, here's this medical grade. You need to use this. But estheticians were like fighting against all the drugstore retail.
Yeah, sure.
So I make it my life's work to inform myself of everything retail.
Wow.
That's so that if somebody's like, oh, well, what do you, I'm like, I don't like that. Like I've done the research. I looked at the ingredients. Like I don't want you to
always
scanning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause, and that's what we say when you come into our practice, we say we go off of ingredients.
Yep.
We don't go off of what is cost the most. And actually sometimes the drugstore ones that are the high end, you know, fancy.
Most marketed.
They are crap.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you want it to just sit on your skin and do nothing? Yep.
There's actually a skincare brand that I love that's at Sephora and nobody ever talks about it.
Talk about it.
It's called Skin Fix.
Okay.
And the whole brand's premise is barrier fixing.
Ooh.
We love a good
and there is no fragrance.
Okay.
So there's very, very little fillers, but we know not everything is bad.
Sure.
Right.
But in general, I have had some of the most complicated skin types like coming in. I'm like, just use that.
Wow.
Your skin is so compromised.
And like, we love that. We tell people CeraVe, Cetaphil, things that you can pick up. Now we're pretty sticklers on our serums.
Oh, yes.
Factors and peptides because I usually will say to people,
if you want change, you're going to have to go that direction.
Yeah, because the drugstore ones are not going to spend millions of dollars to work on transdermal delivery systems.
No.
They're not going to penetrate through.
It's that's my rule too.
Nothing.
Like
for you.
I'm fine with retail for cleansers and like an SPF or a moisturizer. But when you're talking about correctives,
gotta be medical.
It has to. You have to.
I'm so glad
and
that we're on the right road.
Speaking of
that.
Ingredients, you probably know this too, but I've been telling patients about iron oxide and how important that is if you have melasma or other, you know, hyperpigmentation issues. Mm-hmm. If you are going out, we always know about the UVA and the UVB rays, but it's just, you know, everyday light that is going to create that problem too.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I like radicals, color silence too.
Yeah.
Because it helps with that.
Well, and my spiel with that with clients is always most of your sun exposure that's the most dangerous is the indirect, the one that where you're not thinking when you're walking from your car to the building,
100%.
When you're in the car and you're driving, like how many times do you look
Chelsea,
at the
there's
symmetry?
No sun out today.
Yeah, I don't have to. It's gloomy.
80%.
Yeah.
Comes right through.
I'm like, or they're like, there's snow on the ground. I'm
but
you don't think that's reflecting?
Yeah.
The light
and my
face.
Oh, that's
face?
My favorite during snowboarding ski season. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, do you lather, right? You put SPF? They're like, no, why? I'm like,
You're like, I can't talk to you right now. Right. I need to step away.
I'm like, oh, do you want to look at the windburn and the sunburn and all the burns that you are now getting from being outside?
So would you say you're like a personal trainer for the skin?
Absolutely.
And like, it would be like getting injectables, but going to McDonald's as a trainer. Like, you're the skin trainer.
Yeah.
So
I look at it more like it's the habit
that,
and the
that light. Didn't go away.
The habit.
That's not what I was supposed
habit,
to say, guys.
The habit and hygiene is what I'm training people on. So yes, to go back to your personal training analogy, yes.
I was going to say, you're the trainer.
Yes.
And getting injectables and not having an esthetician is like going to the gym, but then eating McDonald's.
Yes. Okay.
That's
full circle. That's got the, it. We landed it.
She process. Landed it. Oh, so you're like a trainer for the skin.
And you do stuff McDonald's? In McDonald's.
No, that's not right. It's not right. One day.
Okay. But yes, to circle back on your point, it is. It's training your habits, your lifestyle. Like that is what estheticians' jobs are.
Okay.
And then I get to recognize what might be the best thing for you for an advanced treatment.
And what do you offer at your location?
So I do chemical peels, customized facials that include plenty of different acids, physical exfoliation. I do full body waxing safely, not rushed. So if you're looking for somewhere that doesn't feel like you're just on a conveyor belt and getting hair ripped out of your body, I don't do that.
It doesn't sound fun.
Not at all. Like I was saying, I'm similar to you guys where my appointments are longer than the actual appointment would take because most of the time my clients are running in 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you can just sit down for like 5 minutes.
Relax.
Yeah. Talk to me. What's going on? And we catch up. And a lot of the times that's when they're telling me things that they might have changed in their diet, in their routine, in their sleep habits. So I'm like, oh, so we're fighting a little dehydration today. We're fighting off a little bit.
See what she's doing here? She's using clinical judgment.
Yeah.
To actually ascertain what's going on with
the So you guys think it's just girl chat. But
but she's actually and like that's important.
Yeah.
Like I when you're sitting there in front of me as a first time injectable patient, I'm looking at where the light hits you in your eye. I'm looking at your skin tone and texture. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about all these things. But you probably just think, oh, Stacey's so fun and she's cares just, that what I'm doing.
Yeah. She's just so happy to be here. Yeah.
But we're always constantly looking and thinking and it's how helping. Us treat you the best possible.
Like my client could be mute 9 times out of 10, but the minute I get them on the table, I can be like, oh, did you change your cleanser? Did you use a different exfoliant?
They're like, how did she know?
And they're like, I'm like, oh, you didn't drink any water this week? And they're like, not as much. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'm not judging you. It just helps me adjust what you need. And that's similar to what you guys have to do in your conversations. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, what happened last time? How was your reaction? What did you do after? Like it's, but you know, you have
follow up.
Yeah.
And it's important, I think, continuity of care. Keep going to the same person for a little bit of time before you make a jump because you don't want to be hopping around or group on your face because it makes it very difficult.
And I'm the first to refer out, even if it's another esthetician that does a service that I don't do or they specialize in something specific that isn't really my forte. I'm never afraid to refer out.
I love that.
Same.
Because it's I'm not going to, again, back to treating Fitzpatrick's, I'm not going to just do something just to make money if I don't know that that's like my thing.
Now, when we picked our technology, we were very careful to make sure that we were inclusive of all Fitzpatrick's. Yeah. We actually have a lot of modalities. One, you're actually going through treatment.
Yes, right, and I'm obsessed and I can't wait to just scream it from
do
a mountain.
Do you want to talk a little bit?
Sure. Okay. So I came in to Stacey a year ago because of just natural aging and I'm going to fight it. Till I die. and I went originally for master Botox for pain, but then I was like, okay, well, my nasolabial folds and I would like a little lift.
And I'm like looking at her and I'm like, okay, you're beautiful. Gorgeous.
Okay, but you know that the less is more.
Yes.
So like if we start doing something that's going to kind of get ahead of it.
Yes, don't wait until you're like decrepit.
Yeah, not when you're doing one of these
for us to lift your pull you back.
You know, it's like, oh, can
we're like facelift, go.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
because refer out, see?
Yeah. This is for surgeons, not for me. But in general, I was like, well, what would be my best option? And obviously, Stacey, considering my Fitzpatrick.
Yep. Making and sure we went through like a lot of options.
Yeah.
To, I would say, most conservative to most invasive.
Yeah. Yeah. And we landed on TriLift because I used to be like a huge like advocate for Morpheus. And I was like, oh, that's cool. But I didn't, when I did a little more research, just from my standpoint, it wasn't my favorite. Yeah. And it seems like there's a lot of room for error when it comes to treating higher Fitzpatrick's.
We almost say it's almost like bringing like a gun to a knife fight.
Right. And that was kind of my...
like it's a little excessive and that you have to be very careful of who you're going to for just even radiofrequency microneedling because you can melt fat in the face.
Yeah. Where you need it.
Right. We don't need to melt it any quicker than melting.
Because if you guys don't know, you do lose subdermal fat as you get older.
Your fat pads will just
like you're just
to, and it's the superficial ones that are right up there.
Yeah, it's all of it. You just get thin and weird and and
then so we chose the tri-lift.
Yeah, so that's how we got there. But it's interesting. It's obviously an advanced treatment, so I don't want to sell it as like, oh, it's just like a spa treatment. It's really relaxing. It is, because I think you're in the industry, you turn into a little bit of a psychopath when you're like, yeah, do it.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. And I'm like, hit me harder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's actually not like indicated. And I'm like, are you sure? Like, I want something to feel like it was done.
Feel you know, it. They're like, yeah, you definitely feel it, but
but I do check in with you.
Yeah, and it's like, not crazy. Yeah.
I turn it up.
Yeah.
You know, we want it to be not like excruciating. I feel like that's another thing. Some of the treatments out there are excruciating. Mm-hmm. You have to numb for a really long time and we can numb you, but like, I feel like this is a nice way to bring the muscle fibers back together.
Yeah.
Feels a little bit like a hot stone massage, but then you have like this twitching, which my mom was like, it's like touching an electric fence. And I'm like, maybe don't tell the patient people that.
And that you've done that. Obviously you've tried that, mom. I'm going to ask her next time I see her.
We love her so
like,
much.
So you touch electric fences. That's great.
But Tri-Lift Tom, you know, he was like, yeah, it gives a little zing once in a while.
Yeah.
But I think as the treatments go on, it becomes more tolerable because you're bringing those fibers closer together.
Yeah.
And so they're getting a little bit used to what we're doing.
Right. And my perspective with my anti-aging in general is always just holistic in a sense where it's like, I understood that this was helping my body do something that it was already going to like be able to do.
Yes.
It's like not making any sort of.
We're not injecting something weird into you that might cause scar tissue or things like that.
Yes.
It's not able to have the actual radio frequency microneedling penetrate through. We went really slow.
Yep.
It's really easy to get rid of pigment.
Yeah.
It is not easy to bring pigment back once it is gone.
Yeah. And you said for a while there was absolutely nothing.
There was absolutely nothing. Now there's some studies that are coming out of Brazil and even the U.S. now where for vitiligo, there are some drugs on the market. There are some things you can do that actually can deliver certain products or medications into the dermis to actually proliferate melanocytes.
Yeah.
Which but is cool. But
let's not go there.
Because it's one thing if it's vitiligo.
Right.
But if it's you... That's different.
No, that's different. It's different.
Yeah.
We don't want that.
No.
So you're experiencing the Tri-Lift. That's more for muscle stimulation, acne scars, texture, laxity, just preventative aging. We go to the gym for every other area of our body. It's like gym for the face with a little bit of microneedling and steroids.
And I love microneedling in general.
Love it as well. And you should see Chelsea for that.
Yeah.
We also have the Stellar M22, which is a IPL resurfix laser. It's great for pigmentation, vascular texture concerns, and all Fitzpatrick's can be treated, which is amazing.
Nice.
Also, we've seen an uptick in people having hair loss with COVID and vaccinations and aging and things that we've exposed ourselves to and the GLP-1s. And so we actually have a laser that can treat all Fitzpatrick's across the board for hair.
Oh, really?
Which is very
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It stimulates angiogenesis, which is just a fancy word of saying blood flow to the area. And we've seen a significant increase in it in all ethnicities, which is really nice.
It's going great.
We have a new machine called the Pladuo. This is a non-thermal, non-ablative plasma that helps with collagen stim, and it's safe for all skin types. And it doesn't actually break the skin. So this is something that truly is a phenomenal, magical device that actually brings pigment to the surface if you don't want it. Doesn't take away pigment if you need it there.
Yeah.
And helps tighten, tone, and
lift.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Have you both done it?
We got to do Jenna. Okay.
But her results were like,
I turned 40 and I was like, what is this skin above my eye, Jenna?
Yeah.
Need to see.
Because it really does happen that fast out of nowhere.
I really,
I have to see results to be like, yeah, I believe in that.
Yeah.
And when she came back, I knew she did something, but I'm like, whoa, something really is different.
And especially with my weight loss, like I was feeling just like a little saggy.
Well, and that's such a beautiful thing to talk about because so many more women are getting back to taking care of their bodies as a whole right now. Yeah. Like I'm seeing so many more women in the gym, like so many more women being more about their nutrition, which is such a great thing to do. But then you're dealing with the skin laxity and you're like, what's the trade-off? I've literally had clients say, I don't want to lose weight because I don't want the saggy skin.
Yeah. It's difficult to treat.
Yeah.
Enter the duo.
Yeah. We can't wait to try things with the Pluto. Yeah, and
we wanted our protocols.
Can you do it for the body too?
Are multi off label. but multi, you know, modalities.
Yeah, right?
It's not just you get one Pluto Pro and you're good to go.
Yeah.
No, let's combine that with collagen stim. Let's send you to Chels for some microneedling.
Yeah.
Let's get all the collagen in all the layers in all the ways.
And get you on a really good skincare regimen.
Thank you.
Sunscreen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is what we need.
Yeah.
So we also have our esthetician toolbox.
Yeah.
We send you to people who can dermaplane, do custom regimens for you, tell you about skincare lines and do peels and things of that nature. So that's in our toolbox and we will talk to you.
And the feedback you can get from us, because we're with a client for maybe an hour, hour and a half. Like I'm working on your skin that long. I might see something. Well, they, you know what? They did react a little bit to this. So I would probably do this for them going forward. Like that's just the collaboration that's really needed. And, you know, coming from down in Virginia, where there was a lot of dermatologists, a lot of plastic surgeons, almost every single one of them has an esthetician either in office or that like rents a space or.
Yeah. And you and I were just talking about, we should develop a collab where after they get like a Pluduo treatment, you could come in and dermaplane them and expedite the downtime.
Yeah.
Because there isn't as much downtime as like a CO2 laser, but there's still some downtime.
Yeah.
But if you dermaplane that excess skin that's coming to the surface, that's desiccating off.
It's revealing the glowy, beautiful, plump skin.
You get a little bit quicker.
Put your twinkle razors down.
Yeah, God.
Did you talk about all the skincare cancer stuff that you wanted to?
Well, I mean, we didn't hit on melanoma.
Yeah.
Let's touch on it.
Melanoma, especially in higher Fitzpatrick's. It's so scary.
It's real scary, but also it's mostly scary because you don't see it or you don't recognize it until it's too late.
Yep.
So with higher Fitzpatrick's, you know, you're going to see that it's called acral lentiginous and you're going to see that in the palms. Mm-hmm. You're going to see that on the feet.
Yeah.
Usually non-sun exposed areas.
Yeah.
Even nails.
Nails. Oh, 100%.
I had one of my good friends, she had to have her whole nail taken off.
Yeah. And that's why these things are important. And I always tell people it's important to get your nails taken off on a yearly basis.
Just to see them
one time.
Just to see them.
Even if you're just to see them and look under there.
Yeah.
We've caught some on the feet, on the soles.
Yeah.
We've caught some on the nail bed. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's easy to take care of if you catch it soon enough.
Yeah.
Correct.
And if it's small enough, then you don't have to worry about the scar being like,
right.
And we even football have treatments size for scars now. That was one of my things that I got the CO2 for was because we wanted to be able to treat keloids.
Yeah.
And so we've done that in many Black women. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's been a real asset, especially like accidental trauma as well.
Yeah.
You know,
being a kid.
Yeah. Why do you have to live like that?
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah.
Come see us. We'll help you out.
Going back to the nails too, real quick.
Yeah.
When you're getting your nails done, you're sticking them in a little tanning bed, right?
Yeah, UV light.
So please take them off. Please take a look at your nails.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
That's all I've got to say about that.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah,
We love you so much. And thank you for like educating us because that makes us stronger providers.
Yeah.
Thank you for trusting us with your face.
Of course.
And we're looking forward to collaborating more.
Yeah.
Sure.
Treating everybody, making everybody feel good, make them feel heard.
And sunscreen is for everyone.
Yes.
SPF is your BFF.
Period.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You want to age slow? Wear SPF.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.